Hello, and welcome to Torah in Motion's MP3 audio library. We hope you enjoy this recording of a live Torah in Motion presentation. For more information, please visit www.torahinmotion.org. Thank you.
Okay, so 11 pages, 35 minutes. It gives about 3 minutes a page. I think we're okay. Of course, I'll be translating everything into English, so that'll have to add on some additional time. The most central mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah is, of course, the blowing of the shofar. And we would be remiss to have a day devoted to Rosh Hashanah without discussing this mitzvah. We discuss Tfilat Chana and all kinds of other interesting stuff. But, you know what I mean. Until you discuss the horn, you haven't done the job. So we're going to have to devote some time to this and try and understand what the goal and nature of this mitzvah is. Now, the Torah, unfortunately, tells us very, very little about the mitzvah of Tkiyat Shofar. It mentions it in Parshat Emor and Parshat Pinchas. Interestingly, it changes from Zichron Trua to Yom Trua, the common denominator being the mentioning of the word Trua. You, of course, wonder what the relationship is between Zichron and Yom and why the Torah uses two formulations. But the one thing we know is that Rosh Hashanah is about Trua. Trua is, of course, the noise you make with the horn. Okay, so far, so good? Any questions until now? Okay. Now, the strange thing about the way the Torah presents the mitzvah of Trua is that we have so little information, even basic information, like, what do you make the Trua with? Does the Torah tell you? We know that we make it with a shofar, but how do we know that? And isn't it interesting that the Torah doesn't tell us? Why didn't it just say, shofar Trua? Why does the Torah go out of its way not to tell us what you make the noise with? What I'd like to try and show you is that the Torah leaves it open because, even though we make it with a shofar, the Torah wants you to see that the blowing of the shofar here is different. It's not like other blowings of the shofar. It's like other blowings in the Torah. What I'd like to begin by looking at together with you is what other examples we have in the Torah of blowing. And I want to show you that Chazal used these other examples, saw them as parallel, as connected to the blowing of Rosh Hashanah, learned from these other blowings, halachot to Rosh Hashanah. What we'll try and understand is what message is learned from these other blowings to Rosh Hashanah as well. And basically there are two other places in the Torah which discuss blowing at other times during the year. Vayikra Perek Chaf Hei, right after the Torah discusses Rosh Hashanah, it discusses Yovel. Everyone knows in the 50th year, we usher in the Yovel by blowing the shofar. And Chazal understood that this blowing during Yovel is connected in some way to the blowing on Rosh Hashanah. Look at the words of Vayikra Perek Chaf Hei and tell me, what in that pasuk, in those psukim, remind you of Rosh Hashanah? Sorry? Bachodesh Hashvi, and the Torah goes out of its way to mention that. Bachodesh Hashvi'i be'asar l'chodesh. It doesn't say be'asar l'chodesh Hashvi'i. It says, Bachodesh Hashvi'i, it stresses. Be'asar l'chodesh. What else? What do we do with the shofar on Yovel? Do we do it Tkiyah? Shofar Trua Bachodesh Hashvi'i. Because of these words, Chazal understood that this blowing was meant to be connected to Rosh Hashanah. Look at the next source, Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Bet. The Gemara asks, how do we know that we use a shofar on Rosh Hashanah? The Gemara answers, because by Yovel we use a shofar. Va'avarta shofar Trua. Ein li'ela be'Yovel, maybe it's only on Yovel. How do we know that we also use a shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Talmud lomar b'chodesh Hashvi'i. That's why the Torah stresses by Yovel that it's b'chodesh Hashvi'i. Sheyihiyu kol truot shel chodesh Hashvi'i zeh kazeh. Why does the Torah stress b'chodesh Hashvi'i by Yovel? To show you that what we do on Yovel is what you do all throughout the seventh month, including Rosh Hashanah. So on the one hand, Chazal tells us that we're meant to see Rosh Hashanah in light of Yovel. That's why we blow the shofar. But of course, the Torah didn't tell you that you blow the shofar by Rosh Hashanah. And I think it didn't tell you this because it wants you to recognize that the blowing on Rosh Hashanah is also related to the other example of blowing in the Torah, which is Bamidbar Perek Yud. If you look here at the source in the middle of the page, these are the psukim that describe the blowing not of the shofar, but of the chatzotrot, the horns, like at a king's procession. Now, there are a number of situations where we blow these horns. One is to gather the camp together, tell them we're moving in the desert. The second, Pasuk Tet, is at a time of war or other tzaros. And the third, Pasuk Yud, is on Yomim Tovim. Uveyom Simchatchem, Uvemoadechem, Uverashe Chodshechem. And you might be wondering, how come you've never seen horns blown on Yomim Tovim and Rosh Chodeshes? Because if you look at it in Pasuk Yud, it says, in what context do you blow it on a Yom Tov? Read the whole Pasuk. Where? Al Olotechem V'al Zivchei Shalmechem. Where do you blow the horns? Together with the offering of the Korbanos, the Korbanos Musaf. We, of course, don't do that in most places. Does Toronto have the Korbanos Musaf? It'd be pretty cool. You could see it'd be like a big tekkes. Everybody would come. Maybe they would do it in the bayit. What do you think? The first could be a kiddush. It'd be a real interesting scene. People drinking, shechting. I don't think so. You probably have to do it off Bathurst in order to get it done, no? Close, too close to Bathurst is like, you know, the stuff wouldn't go. I think we could find a shul where we could do some karbanos musaf and some heavy drinking. What do you think? Shechting? You know anyone we can talk to? No? Okay. All right. I was in the boat shul last night, so I bet we can do it there. In between the 10:30 and the 11 o'clock minyan, you're getting a little karban musaf, a little schnapps. If we call it schnapps, not drinking, it's mutter. It's us that drink, but it's mutter to have schnapps. Because schnapps is frum. You understand what I mean? Okay. So in any case, the blowing of the chatzotzos. What in the description of the blowing of the chatzotzos reminds you of the blowing on Rosh Hashanah? People would have to look inside the psukim, read them, process the information, and think. Yes, it is August, and we are asking for thinking. Tracking things. Reading comprehension. In Hebrew, nonetheless. Anyone? Zikaron, excellent. The Torah uses the word Zikaron, both in Pasuk Tet, regarding blowing the Chatzotzot during war, and in Pasuk Yud, regarding blowing it on Yom Tov. And this, of course, reminds us of the word the Torah used regarding Rosh Hashanah. And you know how I can prove to you that the blowing of the Chatzotzot are relevant to Rosh Hashanah? Because if you look at the Nusach HaTzvilah, three sources on the bottom of page one, Nusach Svard, of course, because we're in Or Chaim. Very few day schools in America daven Nusach Svard. You guys do, which I find very interesting. All of Toronto davens Nusach Svard? Wow. I said last night, my wife and I would come one day on Shlichus here. They would daven Svard everywhere. I don't know, it's too many words. Svard has a lot of extra words. Got all this key, kel, da 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 stuff going on. You guys, all your shuls are daven Nusach Svard? They don't daven Nusach Svard. The Bayit? They don't daven Nusach Svard. Who said all of Toronto davens Nusach Svard? Most of Toronto. In Lawrence, do they daven Nusach Svard? Shomer Shabbos? They do or they don't? They do, okay, we're voting. 416 daven Svard? 905 daven Ashkenaz? Got it. You mean Svard is firmer? As you tell me. Svard is firmer. It's Siddish, it's Hamish. In the boat shul last night, I saw that the person who donated Aron Kodesh was a descendant of the Maram Shik. Ungarish. It's not Chassidish. It's Ungarish. It's chandeliers. It's a different word. It's not Chassidish. In any case, so let's take a look. If you look in the tefillah of Musaf, Elokeinu v'Elokei v'Seinu, this is the bracha of Shofros. What pasuk do we conclude the bracha of Shofros on Rosh Hashanah with? Uv'yom sitchatchem uv'moadechem uv'rashei chodshechem utekatem b'chatzotzrot. That pasuk's by the chatzotzrot. The nusach tefillah svard. So you can't claim they're, you know, frum. They take the pasuk of Biyom Simchaschem from the Chatzotzos and put it into Musaf Rosh Hashanah. And in fact, there are two different Gemaras. One is in the bottom of page one, the other is in the top of page two, where the Gemara discusses and questions where we should derive the halachas of Tkiyah Shofar from. The first halacha the Gemara is talking about is that everyone is mechuyev in the mitzvah. Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael. The Gemara on side 2 asks, why would you think Kohanim are not chayiv in the mitzvah? So first the Gemara suggests, in bold, the top of page 2, that since Kohanim are mechuyiv in the chatzotzros all year long, v'chtiv u'tekatem v'chatzotzrot alolotechem, the Kohanim are the ones who blow in the Beit Mikdash with the korbanos, eim alo lechayivu, so maybe they shouldn't be chayiv in the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah. What's the Gemara assuming at this point? That the Chatzotzros and the blowing of Rosh Hashanah, they're connected. So if you're chayiv in one, you're putzel from the other. The Gemara says, no, kamashvelan, that the Kohanim are chayiv anyway in Rosh Hashanah. Then the Gemara says, me dummy? Why would you think the two should be compatible? Rosh Hashanah and Chatzotzro. Hatam Chatzotzro, Hacha Shofar. The Gemara finds the weak point of the comparison between Rosh Hashanah and the Chatzotzros. And now the Gemara gives an alternative explanation. I would think, since we know that so many halachot of blowing on Rosh Hashanah are like Yovel, I would say that only those chayivs in the blowing of Yovel are chayiv on Rosh Hashanah. And Kohanim are not chayiv in Yovel because they can sell their lands forever. So maybe they shouldn't be chayiv on Rosh Hashanah. You see how the Gemara is using these two paradigms, Chatzotzot on the one hand, Yovel on the other hand, to affect the halachot of Rosh Hashanah. And the same thing goes in the second Gemara here, Lamed Gimel Lamed Bet, where the Gemara wonders, how do we know that we don't just have a Truah? How do we know we have a Tkiah also on Rosh Hashanah? Because the Torah only says Yom Truah, Zichron Truah. So first the Gemara suggests comparing Rosh Hashanah to Yovel. And then the Gemara brings another opinion who compares Rosh Hashanah to Chatzotzot. For the same purpose of learning out the halachot, but again using these two different paradigms. And therefore, to summarize, Chazal show us that the blowing on Rosh Hashanah, which the Torah gives us very little information about, is meant to be compared to the blowing of Yovel and the blowing of Chatzotzot. And in what way is it compatible to each? On the one hand, the horn we use on Rosh Hashanah is like the one used on Yovel. Again, what is it? The shofar. But the Torah doesn't write shofar. Had the Torah written shofar on Rosh Hashanah, we would have said, oh, Rosh Hashanah is exactly like Yovel. But the Torah didn't write it. So that you would also compare Rosh Hashanah to, besides Yovel to, Chatzotzrot. And what word does the Torah use by Rosh Hashanah to create that connection? The word Zichron. The word Zichron. True is used both by Yovel and by Rosh Hashanah, and by one of the Chatzotzrot, it's not both, but the word Zichron. And what I'd like to show you now is that the word Zichron is basic, a basic requirement to the blowing of Rosh Hashanah, and a basic indication of what the goal of blowing on Rosh Hashanah is, which is what we want to get to. If you look at the Gemara here in Daf Chof Chet Amud Aleph, the Gemara is talking about the question of whether mitzvot need kavanah in order to be yotzeh. The Gemara begins by discussing matzah. It says if somebody was forced to eat matzah, he doesn't want to do it, he's not intending to do a mitzvah, the Gemara says at least here he's yotzeh. Amar Rava, middle of the third line. Zot omeret, from here we learn, hatokea l'shir yatzah, that if a person blows the shofar for music, he's yotzeh. The Gemara says pshita. Hainuhach, of course, it's the same case. Why would you think it should be different? So the Gemara says, I would have thought that shofar requires more than matzah. Matzah, the Torah says, eat, and you wait. But here the Torah doesn't just say, blow the horn. It says, zichron truaksiv. They have to be reflective. You have to remember something. So I would think you're not yotzeh. That's why we need to know that you're yotzeh anyway. And the truth is, halachically, God bless you, we do need a certain level of kavanah when blowing the shofar. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chof Chet, in the very next Amud, and the Rambam summarizes that in order to be yotzeh with someone else's blowing, he needs to have in mind to be yotzeh you, and you need to have in mind to be yotzeh with him. So you see that Zichron teaches us that by shofar we need more. It's not just the blowing, but it's the reflections we need to have when blowing. And what I'd like to elaborate with you is what exactly we're meant to be appreciating and understanding when we do this mitzvah that's supposed to be so meaningful. And I'd like to go to see this together with you by examining the shofar itself. You know, the shofar had to be from a very particular animal. If you look at the bottom of page 2, we're told, number 1 in the Mishnah, that it can't be from a para. It can't be from a para. Why not? So the Gemara explains, top of page 3, Kevan de lezichron hu, since the purpose of the shofar is, as a zikaron, kibifnim dami. It's as if we're inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And as the Gemara explains here, the para reminds us of its child. Who is the child of the para? The egel. We don't want to remind God of the egel. And even though we don't mind using a para outside the Beit Mikdash, or using gold outside the Beit Mikdash, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we're not going to use gold. That's why the Kohen, when he goes in on Yom Kippur, goes in with only the 4 garments. The shofar, says the Gemara, is like being inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim because it's lezichron. It's a really interesting explanation we have to try and understand. How does the fact that the shofar is a zikaron make it like it's inside the Kodesh HaKadosh. But that's what the Gemara says. And the Mishnah goes on to explain on page 3 that the shofar needs to be of a particular species and a particular shape. There's a debate in the Mishnah, which shape? But everyone agrees that, at least ideally, it should have that shape. If we had more time, I'd discuss with you whether it's L'chadchila or B'di'evid, which is a big machlokas amongst Rishonim, which we don't have time to get into. What I want to get into is, why does the shofar need to be a particular shape, a particular species? If the whole purpose is just to have a truah, think how interesting this is. The Torah doesn't even tell us there needs to be a shofar. It just says Yom Truah, Zichron Truah. And now we're coming along and saying that not only does it have to be a shofar, but it has to be a particular shofar. Or at least a chatzilah. Why? If you want to understand the most basic meaning of any mitzvah, look at the halachot of what's required. Does the lulav have to be together? Does it have to be bent over? All these halachot are going to teach you something about what the purpose of this object and this mitzvah is. So let's start taking a look together. What I'd like to show you is that there's a basic debate, and I'm going to bring together both sides like I did in the earlier shiur, regarding what the shape and species of the shofar are meant to signify. And what I'd like to show you is that this debate about the symbolism, the two sides are really talking about two different aspects of the mitzvah of shofar. Let's begin. The first approach, which is that of the Yerushalmi, is that the purpose of this particular shape and species is to have an effect on the people hearing the shofar. Remember, the Mishnah has two opinions. One says the shofar has to be straight. The other says the shofar has to be bent over. I'm a Rebbe Yonah, says the Yerushalmi. Why should it be straight? Kedei sheyifshetu libam b'tshuva. So that people's hearts should similarly be straight when they do tshuva. And the same Rabbi Yonah explains the other opinion in the next part of the Mishnah, which says the shofar needs to be bent over. He says, Kedei sheyachufu et libam b'tshuva. So that people when they do tshuva should be bent over. Maybe there's a debate here, according to Rabbi Yonah, about how tshuva should be done. Should be done with the person bent over, which is understandable. Or should a dafka be done with a person straight, so they're not playing games? You bend over, so you're faking a little bit. Be straight and be honest when you do your tshuva. This idea that the purpose of the shofar is meant to affect those listening can be seen in many, many places on Chazal, and this is basically the point of page 4. The Medrash Tanchuma says that the call of the shofar is basically the voice of God. And what is it saying? What is it saying to Bnei Yisrael? The Medrash explains in the third line, Elu Yisrael Shehein Mizdazein V'Charidin. They should be shaking and afraid, Mikol HaShofar, V'Chozrin B'Tshuva. The shofar is supposed to wake people up and scare them, like the voice of God. And the truth is that I think this understanding of the shofar really helps you appreciate a strange Mishnah that appears right in the middle of Masechet Rosh Hashanah. The second source here, in the middle of the third parak of Hilchos Shofar of Rosh Hashanah, asks the following question. Why did Moshe have to raise his hands during the war with Amalek? The obvious question is, why are you asking that here? Let's first see what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, because in order to be victorious in war, people have to be mechavein their hearts to Shamayim. And the purpose of Moshe raising his hands was to show the people that they need to be looking upward. I don't know, in Canadian football, how do they show a touchdown? Like this? Like American football? Now I have a question. Why do you go like this when someone there scores a touchdown? Maybe you go like this, touchdown, like this. What is this? So the pshat is, they're trying to show you to kick the extra point. They have that in Canadian football, you have to kick the extra point afterwards. So they're showing you to kick the extra point. So that's what I always thought pshat was. But I don't know in Canadian football, but in American football, they just started a new rule, which is you can either kick the extra point, or you can try and get the ball in again and you get 2 points. You have that? You got it. So l'chaira, what's the pshat? The ref is going like this. It's not fair. It should be your choice, no? Gotcha, right? So I'll tell you pshat. The Mishnah says, why did Moshe raise his hands during Melchemes HaMalek? To show the people what? That you're winning the war because of? When a guy scores a touchdown, what's the ref telling him? Now, at least in American football, they made a new rule, which is that if you do a dance, like too much of a dance, like a big shot after you score a touchdown, what happens? You get a penalty. Why? Because you didn't listen to the ref. What did the ref tell you? It wasn't you. What are you saying? Right? So you got a fine. There you go, pshat. Know what he's saying. Now whether that's pshat in American football, and for sure in Canadian football, I don't know. But that's what the Mishnah says here regarding Mechavis HaMalek. And the Mishnah continues and says the same thing regarding the copper snake. Remember in the Midbar, the Jews complained that Hashem sent the snake. So what was Moshe told to do? Make a copper snake, the medical sign, right? And put it on a pole and everyone should look at it. The Mishnah says, what is this? Black magic? So the Mishnah says the point of the snake was that people should look upward. The obvious question is, that's a nice musav art. It's a nice sports art. What's it doing in Hilchos Shofros? So the Rambam says, Pirush Mishnayos, next source on the sheet. Ukifi kavanas ha-mesechta. It's spoken about here because of the general point of this mesechta. Meaning, the purpose of the shofar is, similarly, to get people to look upward. This is how the Ran explains a very strange Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara asks, why do we blow on Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara answers, we blow because the Torah tells us to. The Gemara says, no. Why do we blow sometimes standing up, sometimes sitting down? So the Gemara says, Kedei la'arvei ha-satan, to confuse the satan. The Pashup Shad, this is part of a whole genre of Gemaras that are about tricks Jews do to throw the satan off us. Throw us off the scent. Like we saw yesterday, changing your name. Oh, that's not me. Right? Or, we don't blow the shofar in Erev Rosh Hashanah so the satan should think we're done. Then we come back full force the next day, and of course, the satan doesn't remember from last year. He's got those memory problems, satan thing. Right? And that's why the Ran found this strange. What do you mean today to confuse the satan? So the Ran says, what does it mean? Pirush lachnia es hayetzer. The best way to confuse the satan is to change ourselves. We blow the shofar standing, sitting in different ways, so we can try and ingrain it within ourselves. We confuse the satan by changing ourselves. This approach of the shofar being to affect us is the approach most clearly elaborated on by the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Teshuvah, I referred to this yesterday, says that even though tkiyat shofar is a gzerat ha-katuv, there's a remez. What is the remez? Oru yesheinim yesheinatchem. Sleepers, wake up. Might be relevant here, according to one. Hekitzu mitardematchem. V'chipsu b'maaseichem. And search through your deeds. V'chizru b'tshuvah. V'zichru borachem. Why is that an interesting phrase? V'zichru borachem. Because here the Rambam is obviously interpreting what word in the Torah? Zichron trua. Who needs a zikaron? Who needs to remember through the blowing of the shofar? We need to remember. Eilu hashokachim et ha'emet behavle hazman, says the Rambam. There are people who forget the truth, not because, God bless you, ideologically they go off the path. But sometimes people forget the truth because they become so wrapped up in the day-to-day norms of life. The truth just gets buried somewhere. And the shofar is to help us bring it out. Now what's interesting about the Rambam's position is that the Rambam says the same idea by another blowing in the Torah. What blowing is that? The blowing of the Chatzotzer. The Rambam says in Hilchos Taniyot that there's a mitzvah zaseim in HaTorah, lizok uleharia, to cry out with the shofar, the Chatzotzer, at a time of war or other tzaros. The Rambam goes on to explain in Halacha Bet, v'davar ze midarkei tshuvahu. It's part of tshuva that when something bad happens, we respond and recognize that it's because we've done something wrong. The Rambam has sharp words in Halacha Gimel for people who don't respond to bad things this way, but rather they say, look, minhaga olami ra'lanu, these things happen. The Rambam says if we don't respond and recognize that this is happening just because of our ways, God continues causing us additional suffering. It's kind of like those cool snooze alarm clocks. You guys know what a snooze alarm clock is, right? Now the regular snooze alarm clock, when it goes on the second time, it's the same level, same velocity, the same pitch. There are cool snooze alarm clocks that the next time it goes off, it's louder or more irritating. Now personally for me, they should create the following kind of snooze alarm clock. Not just that it goes louder, but the alarm clock moves further away. You get the idea? So first you bang it, right? 5 minutes later, it's like, it moved. So you hit here, it's gone. Hit here, it's not there anymore. As it goes on, it should get louder and further, and you're like searching around the room, you're looking to bang it, right? That would be like really cool. Anybody wants to make an invention? The moving snooze alarm clock. The Rambam says that this is how the tochacha works. If you remember the end of Vichukosai, if this suffering didn't wake you up, so what does God do? He raises the volume. If that doesn't work, he keeps churning it higher and higher until people listen. The purpose of the Chatzotzros is to get people to recognize that they need to wake up. Or in other words, the Zikaron meant to be caused by the Chatzotzros is like the Zikaron of Rosh Hashanah, which makes sense. And according to the Rambam, even though we use the shofar like on Yovel, the purpose of blowing the shofar is like the purpose of blowing the Chatzotzros at a time of war. It's to wake ourselves up. And in fact, this war imagery you find by shofar as well. It's a little strange that we blow the shofar at Musaf, right? Because usually we do mitzvahs early in the morning. Does anyone know why we blow the shofar at Musaf? There are different explanations given, but the Yerushalmi says that initially they indeed blew the shofar in Shacharis. But what happened? People who heard the Goyim, who heard the shofar being blown, thought the Jews were attacking them, because when do you blow horns? When you go out to war. I saw Braveheart. There's a lot to learn from Braveheart, a lot not to learn. But in any case, so they had to move it to Musaf because the Goyim thought the Jews were attacking them, and they went and attacked the Jews. If you look in Sefer Amos, third source, page 5, Im yitaka shofar be'ir, if a shofar goes off in the city, the Am lo yecharadu, should people not be afraid? Should people not recognize that there's a war coming? They used to blow shofarot to warn people. And by the way, we do the same thing today. What warnings do cities have to show that something bad is happening, that a war is coming? They have a siren, right? What does the siren sound like? A shofar. In the old days, they didn't... you know, we should stop. Effie? Let's go. Take it away. Later. It actually sounded pretty good. I was just moving quick because, you know, we're out of time. So, but I think we should, even for action, right? I can see you're the guy standing near the shofar guy. He's going, you're going, You like the alternative thing. If the shofar guy doesn't show up, you're going to do it like stereo. NASCAR. Oh, okay, another time. Kurt, you're in trouble. He's coming after you now. In any case, so do the NASCAR by Mitzvah Parsha. Okay, so... NASCAR. Okay. Okay. The shofar is the same kind of warning that goes off today. And the truth is that in Sefer Yecheskel, he connects between the blowing of the shofar and the warning that happens during a war. Let's take a look at this nevuah carefully. Yecheskel Perek Lamed Gimel, he says, Ben Adam, if an attacking army is coming to a city, and the lookout man sees the army coming, and he blows the shofar and warns the people, and the people hear it and don't pay any attention, Damo Barosho Yehiyeh, Pasuk Dalet, it's their own fault. They heard the shofar, and they didn't pay any attention. If the lookout man doesn't sound the shofar, then it's his fault. Pasuk Zayin. So too you, Yecheskel, you are the lookout man, Hashem says to him. You're hearing my words, and tell them to the people. Once you tell them to the people, if they don't do tshuva, it's their fault. But pasuk tet, ve'ataki his haritha rasha midarko lo shuv mimena. When you warn the rasha to go back from his way, ve'lo shav midarko, hu ba'avono yamut ve'ata nafshecha hitzalta. You, Yecheskel, you've done your job, you're safe. They're going to be punished. Hashem is comparing the words of Yecheskel, calling the people to do tshuva, to the blowing of the shofar. The shofar is meant to be a call to people. Like the calling of war. Wake up! Danger! And that's what makes it so fitting that where do we learn the way the truah is supposed to be blown from, crying? How do we know that the truah is supposed to be like crying? Does anyone know? Gemara Rosh Hashanah, we learn from the mother of Sisera. Mother of Sisera? When was the mother of Sisera crying? During a war. The blowing of the shofar is like the crying at a time of war. And for us to appreciate that, there's the same danger as there is in the time of war. And in summary, the shofar is there to affect us. This could be how we could understand the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chaf Vav Amid Bet, we saw the Yerushalmi, which explains that the purpose of it being straight or bent over is, look at the bottom of the page, or the bottom of the source, the Rosh Hashanah, Kama Dekayif Inish Date Tvei Mali. The more a person is kafuf, bent over, the better. The other sheet that the Gemara explains, the more you're pashut, the better. The Gemara has the word inish, which means what? What's an inish in Aramaic? A person. But what's interesting is, if you look at the bottom of the page in Rashi's second Divrei HaMaschil, kama de pashit tvei adif. What word does Rashi leave out of the Gemara? Inish. So maybe according to Rashi, and interestingly, the first day of Maschil has it, we'll try and get back to it later. According to Rashi, it's possible that the purpose of the shofar is not to affect the person, but maybe something else. And what does Rashi indeed say in the first Divrei HaMaschil, the purpose of the shofar is? He says, the shofar is meant to be first Divrei HaMaschil bent over. Because Rosh Hashanah, the purpose is L'Tfilah. And in Tfilah, you're supposed to be bent over. And then he adds, that beyond the shofar being for Tfilah, the shofar is also supposed to be Ulehaz Kir HaKedat Yitzchak. And what word does Rashi use here that's very important? Ulehaz Kir. As opposed to the Rambam who says that the shofar is meant to remind us of Hashem and our need to do tshuva and return to Him, according to Rashi, the zikaron is to remind of the Akedat Yitzchak. To remind who of the Akedat Yitzchak? Hashem, which is strange because I guess if the Sutton can be confused, maybe God needs to be reminded. We're going to have to explain what that means, that we need the shofar to remind God of Akedat Yitzchak. And that's indeed the pshat that Rashi gives, bottom of page 5 in his Pirush on the Pasuk, Zichron Teruah, Lizkor Lachem Akedat Yitzchak. To remember for you the Akedat Yitzchak. And the truth is, the source of this, page 6, is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Avo asks, why do we blow with the shofar of an ayal dafka, a ram's horn? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, blow in front of me with the shofar of an ayal, kedei she'ezkor lachem akedat Yitzchak ben Avraham. So here it's very clear that who is supposed to remember? Hashem. U'ma'ale ani alechem ki'ilu akadetem atzmechem lefanai. This is a very important line that we'll discuss with Hashem more in Yeshiva and Rosh Hashanah. And I'll consider it like you did the Akedah yourself, which is interesting. So in any case, this is a totally different spin on the purpose of shofar. And there are many Midrashi Chazal that express this. For example, Pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Pei Tes says, Ashrei ha'am yodei teruah. Happy are the people who know how to blow the horn. The obvious question here is, everyone knows how to blow a horn. Little kids know how to blow a horn. So Rashi says, "Sheyodim liratzot et boram v'Rosh Hashanah b'tura," that we know how to blow the horn in a way that brings ratzon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll talk a little bit later about how. The Medrash Rabbah says the same thing. And this, I think, is the explanation of the Gemara we saw before. Remember the Gemara said before, you can't use the horn of a parah on Rosh Hashanah because it says, if you're inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, since it's a zikaron, kibifnim dami. It's like being inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. If the zikaron is directed at ourselves, we're not the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But if the zikaron is directed to Hashem, so it's like you can be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim because the shofar comes all the way up before him. And that's why if you look at the last source here on page 6, before Oth Gimel, that's why the pasuk that we quote in the bracha of shofaros is the pasuk that we say on the korbanos, the chatzotzos on the korbanos. Remember, there were two times where you blow the chatzotzos, a time of war, and when you do the korban musaf. So the Rambam compares the blowing of the shofar to the chatzotzos at a time of war, same purpose to affect the hearts of the people. This other approach compares the shofar to the chatzotzos of the korbanos, because the purpose is to daven to Hashem, like in the Beis Hamikdash over the korbanos. And look what the bracha of shofaros is. Baruch atah Hashem, shomea kol truat amo Yisrael berachamim. Who is hearing the shofar here, according to this bracha? We? Baruch atah Hashem, shomea kol truat amo Yisrael berachamim. That Hashem hears the truah. I'd like to conclude, but I'd like to make the last 3 points that are relevant on this line. Number one, this question, this basic question of whether the purpose of the shofar is to affect us or to affect Hashem, I think is the philosophical basis of the most famous yeshivisha analytical question regarding Hilchas Shofars. If you ask a yeshiva learning person about shofar, the immediate thing he'll tell you is the chakir is whether the mitzvah is in the tkiyah or in the shmiyah. That everybody knows. Ask them, what's that machlok is based upon? No idea. Why should it be the tkiyah or the shmiyah? And if you look at the sources here, I give you all the sources regarding this point. The Rambam is famous for holding that the mitzvah is in the shmiyah. There are others who hold the mitzvah is in the tkiyah. And I think the questions are absolutely linked to one another. If the purpose of the shofar is to affect us as human beings, so what would the core of the mitzvah be? Shmir. And by the way, we just saw that the Rambam held that the purpose of the mitzvah was so that fits in beautifully. But if the purpose of the mitzvah is to remind Hashem, whatever that means, and we'll see in a moment, so then the purpose is the tkiyah, not the shmir. And that's why if you look at the Urayim in the middle of page 7 and the smag right above him, who both say the mitzvah is tkiyah, how do they explain the purpose of the mitzvah? Both of them quote the Gemara about Akedah Yitzchak. Because if the purpose of shofar is tkiyah, so it must be it's not directed at us. It's directed at Hashem. The purpose is Akedah Yitzchak. But the Rambam who says that the mitzvah is shmiah, he understands that the purpose of the mitzvah is to affect us. If you look at the bottom of page 8, the Ritva makes this linkage. He explains why here by Rosh Hashanah is the mitzvah in shmiah. He says, the hacha shmiata shofar hi ikar ha-mitzvah. The kavanata Torah kidei she-ye-or adam lachzor b'tshuva. The person should wake up to do tshuva. The gam she-ichavein l'ratzos, etc. So that was point number one. The backdrop to the famous chakira about shmiah and tkiyah is, I think, this question. Number two, it's quite possible that the mitzvah of shofar means both of these ideas. There's no contradiction between the two of them. And this duality, I think you find, number one, in the blowing of the shofar in the Beit HaMikdash, as opposed to everywhere else. What halachos are unique to blowing the shofar in the Beit HaMikdash? Anyone? Shabbos? On Shabbos, we don't blow outside the Beit HaMikdash, but we do blow in the Beit HaMikdash. And also, it seems, if you look at the top of page 9, the Ramban says that the shofar in the Mikdash had its own unique shape. It had special halachos as far as using gold and other things. I don't have time to go into it. Why should this be? Why should the blowing of the shofar in the Beis HaMikdash be any different? So if you look at page 10, the third source, Turei Eben, on Maseches Rosh Hashanah explains that even though Chazal were metake not to blow the shofar outside of the Beit HaMikdash on Shabbat, they allowed you to continue in the Beit HaMikdash. Why? Second line, third source on the top of page 10, Mishum shehu leha'alot zichronam shel Yisrael la'avihem shebashamayim. The purpose of the shofar is to remind God of us. And the best place to do that is the Beit HaMikdash. So generally we blow the shofar everywhere. Why? Because the purpose of the shofar is not just to communicate with God, but to affect the souls of every individual. So in Rosh Hashanah we need to blow the shofar everywhere. On Shabbos we knock that out. So we knock out the affecting everybody thing because we're afraid they're going to carry it. But the zichron of the Jewish people to God, can we knock that out? Can we have a Rosh Hashanah without that? So we save one place where the zikaron will function. And what's the best place to have that zikaron? The Beit HaMikdash. I'd like to conclude by showing you how, in a very beautiful way, the two ideas link up with each other. Let's look at page 11. Remember we saw that the sheet of the Rambam, and this is in many, many places, we didn't go through it together, is that the mitzvah of shofar is shmi'ah. The kasha that's asked on the Rambam is, how can you say this? We know that if a katan blows the shofar, you're not yotze. Why? The shmi'ah is the same shmi'ah. If you look carefully at the Rambam on page 11 in the Sefer HaMitzvos, when the Rambam counts the mitzvah of shofar, let's see the reason he gives for it. End of the piece, he says, the ein inyana ki inyan tkiyat Rosh Hashanah, blowing on Yovel is not like Rosh Hashanah, ki hi, because the blowing on Rosh Hashanah is a zikaron lefnei Hashem. It's to remind God of the Jewish people. Now this is shocking because we saw that the Rambam says the purpose of blowing the shofar is to remind the Jewish people of God. So what do you see in the Rambam? That it's both. And the Sefer Achinuch, who in many ways followed the Rambam, explains this relationship and he writes, Ein inyana ki inyan tkiyat shofar b'Rosh Hashanah. Shatkiyah hahi, the blowing on Rosh Hashanah, anu osim l'kvora machshavtenu al inyan akedat Yitzchak. To get us to focus on akedat Yitzchak. Unitzayer benafshenu lasot gambanu kamohu la'avat Hashem. And we imagine to ourselves our own willingness to do likewise for the love of God. Umitoch kach ya'ale zichroneinu lifnei Hashem letov. And through this, God will remember us in a positive way. We asked earlier, what does it mean to remind God of Akedat Yitzchak? The answer is, God remembers it The question is whether he remembers it regarding us. And that's something that depends on our thoughts. The two aspects of Tkiyat Shofar fit with each other, complement each other. God's memory depends on our memory. God's reference depends on our consciousness. The shofar should ideally affect us, and through that affect God. Only a shofar that we know is directed upwards is a shofar that will affect us properly. A shofar blown by a katan can't possibly be directed upwards properly. And I think all this is summarized beautifully in the Gemara on the bottom of page 11. This explains why Rashi has Inish and doesn't have Inish, because it's both. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that in Rosh Hashanah we say, Malchiot, Zichronos, and Shofros. Malchiot, we say, Kedei Shetamlichuni Alechem. So that you should have me, Kabbalas, O Malchus Shamayim. Zichronos, Kedei Sheyale Zichronechem Lefanai Letovah. So that your memory should go up before God properly. Uvameh. And what do you use both for Malchiot and for Zichronos? The same shofar. The shofar is first used. Malchios comes first on Rosh Hashanah, and that's why. As a tool for us to accept God's yoke upon ourselves. That's step one. Then the same shofar is used. Once we've done that, to be ma'ale our zichronos before God. We've remembered, and now we ask God to remember us how we now remember ourselves. And this is important for when we do the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, there's another set and another set. It's not the same thinking in each set. The first set is Malchios. The second set is Zichronos. And that's the beautiful formulation of Rabbi Avo. Why do we blow with an Ayal? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, blow before me with the shofar of the Ayal. Kidei she'ezkor lachem akedat Yitzchak ben Avraham. So I remember it for you. I remember it. The question is whether I remember it for you. Umale ani aleichem ki'ilu akadatem atzmechem lefanai. The beauty and uniqueness of the shofar is that it's a kli that can affect both ways. That's meant to affect both ways. Us, and through that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's how Rosh Hashanah is able to accomplish its dual nature that we've been speaking about through the day. Of the one hand, our own accepting God as King, and on the other, His remembering us in a favorable way that we can restart in a fresh way, proceed through the year properly. We've redefined ourselves, and through this have gained the right for another year of life with God in God's world.